Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there. And Calvary covers it all.
Praise the Lord. Good singing. You may be seated.
That's sort of good singing.
Praise the Lord. I'm not sure we sang the same tune that all them little dots represent.
I have.
But I love it again because Calvary covers it all. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles this morning. Let's see if I got some notes to go with here this morning.
Oh, you always have too many notes.
I know, but if I don't have notes, I preach an hour longer. So I'll try and stick with the notes here. Hallelujah. Let's start with two verses. Let's go to Nehemiah first. Nehemiah in chapter 8. And then if you happen to be spinning by Isaiah on your way to Nehemiah, let's pause there again, and we want to be in chapter 26. So Nehemiah is after a bunch of the history verses, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, and then comes Nehemiah in your Bible. Nehemiah in chapter 8 is one of my favorite Nehemiahs. Appreciate again that a lot of Nehemiah has a bunch of names given in it, we just want to look at kind of a theme here.
So where are we going?
Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, and then we'll go back to the book of Isaiah in 26, and so if you're ambidextrous, you can go ahead and get both of them under your thumb. And I have bookmarks in neither one here today. I didn't take this great big Bible with me, so I used my little one, and I didn't get these verses marked out. So appreciate again. We want to talk again about peace with God today. Wow. And peace of God today. I heard an evangelist a couple weeks ago talk down at Lighthouse and Horseheads talk about the ails of this world because there's so many Christians that do not have the peace of God dwelling on their lives. And I thought, wow, that is too true for me personally. And so I took some notes of how to, again, get a little more of that peace of God dwelling in our life and ruling in our life. And I want to go ahead and just rehearse some of the notes that I put together for that. Let's start in Nehemiah and chapter 8. Nehemiah and chapter 8, this is again a tremendous revival. And I won't read all through the revival because it's got a whole bunch of Hebrew names that we struggle with. As we look there, again, this is at the dedication of the temple. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, and the walls are set up again, and again they're having a dedication ceremony. Let's go ahead and start in verse 9. Nehemiah in chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "And Nehemiah, which is the Tishhatha," that's kind of like the office of governor's in office again, over the ruling office in the tribe there again, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." If you underline things in your Bible, that'd be a good clause right there to underline that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And notice again that they were defeated because of what the law said and what they looked at in their circumstances and said, man, there's such a great gulf between what's supposed to be going on and what's actually going on that they were in mourning. And listen, here we are, they just elected a communist. New York State elected a communist into an office of governor or mayor of New York City. And the Marxist regime is still holding our government hostage and shut down. And so, again, understand that things are not going well in America. We have one of the greatest presidents, I believe, that has been as far as changing things. But, boy, there is a rebellion. And it's not just a rebellion of the sick, twisted Democratic leadership. It is, again, a rebellion of people that would elect a communist to be a mayor of a big city, and again, the elections in New Jersey, boy, there's much to moan about, but again, understand that that's the course of this nation. It isn't like New Jersey's taken a new direction. It isn't like New York City has taken a new direction. They're following the course that they have been on. We see with the president that things have changed in our course of a nation. But again, understand that there's still a grassroots people in America that's half city people and half country people. There's still a grassroots push to, again, defy everything that we know to be godly and righteous in our nation and in our direction. And there is probably cause for mourning. Whether you are. And so, again, understand that, boy, I don't want us that we'd be in mourning. I want that we could sing anew and afresh, there's victory in Jesus. And I want that we anew and afresh could realize this little verse here, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How do we attain and hold on to the joy of the Lord? Turn over with me to Isaiah and chapter 26, and just look with me at this one verse, Isaiah chapter 26, and the third verse has a clue again for that, and it says this, Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That word perfect there has an idea of maturity, completeness, all put together, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Father, I praise you again and thank you for your word. And I'd ask that you'd help us to trust in it. And Father, that you'd help our unbelief and help our faith. But Father, that we could again, with a new purpose and a new zeal, in a twisted and crooked society that we're living in that's not moving in your direction. I pray again, Father, that you'd help us to have that perfect peace and let it rule in our lives. And Father, that we could go about your business to be ministers of reconciliation, to be ambassadors for Christ in a crooked world that really needs it. And we'll praise you again and thank you for your touch on your words, your encouragement in our lives. And thank you again, Father, for your word that could give us that strength and that encouragement. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. Perfect peace. Ooh, I like that. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. After, again, I listened to the evangelist preach this message again about how to have the peace of God in your life. Every time I turn a news station on, I quote that verse, okay? And understand that, hey, we need to keep our mind stayed on him. Praise the Lord that if there's any hope in this world, it's going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And so, again, we're on that side, and we need to behave ourselves. We fight not against physical, not against, but we fight against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. And to get to understand that and keep that in mind, and to keep the main thing in our lives, our Sunday school lesson. Brother Miller spent quite a bit of time developing an idea that we're to take care of the oppressed and stop the government from oppressing people. And I didn't like that very much, except for the fact that if you want to take care of the oppressed, you need to have the gospel preached unto them. That's what takes care of the oppression in this world. And we're to be that. We're to do that. And so, again, we can't, again, change the course of our nation. We know who can, again, and I encourage you to talk to him about that change. But, again, we're not going to march on Albany. We're not going to march on Washington, D.C., and go for change again in our government. We're going to go to the man who controls government, the God-man, as it were, the Lord Jesus Christ, and, again, have that be our emphasis. And so when you're watching the news, when you're in frustration about the course of this world, understand that great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And we need to, again, be anchored in peace. So let's look at that thought for just a moment here this morning. A genuine Christian has peace with God. But many today, many Christians today, are totally missing the peace of God. So I want to differentiate first. There is a peace with God that we have. And let's go ahead and look at that real quickly first. A peace with God, and then we'll focus on the peace of God. And so first off, let's secure the peace with God. And this is, I want to rehearse this and make sure we all know this and that we could rehearse this with anybody that needs that peace. Look with me at Romans chapter 5, if I remember right. I couldn't find it here in my notes. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans in chapter 5 and verse 1. Take note of this verse and pay attention where it is. It's right in the middle of the Romans road, if you've memorized that. Hallelujah. Almost to the point, I think maybe we should have added this. This is chapter 5. We've memorized 5:8, 5:12, and 5:18, I hope, in going through the Romans road. But here's Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says this: therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's another good phrase to underline. Only time it shows up in my Bible right there. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, even in mentioning the fact that so many Christians are living their lives without the peace of God, a lot of that's because there's so many, air quote, Christians living their lives that don't have peace with God first. And so it's important for us to recognize that and to be that. And I just want to emphasize the importance of memorizing some verses here out of the Romans road. A genuine Christian with the peace with God must, or peace of God, must first have the peace with God. Living defeated lives and persistent discouragement and pessimistic bouts of depression is this, in this depraved and sin-sick society, is not where victorious Christian living is meant to dwell. Even King Saul's defeat, Elijah's discouragement, and Jonah's disillusionment even caused saints to consider giving up on life. Think about that a minute. And there's lots of Christians giving up on life and wishing they were dead rather than alive. And as soon as I'd heard that, I thought again of Saul, who killed himself, of Elijah, who wished himself dead, of Jonah. And I like that connection there, that Jonah was disillusioned and had all the wrong ideas, and God taught him some lessons. We believe there, but I love the way the book of Jonah ends, because it doesn't end again. It just stops. And so notice here again that even Christians are coming to a place where suicide is an answer to them. And that's a scary position. And again, to understand that our constant living in pessimism about this world is a dangerous place for us to be. We shouldn't be camped there. We shouldn't be dwelling there. And we need some things that will give us victory over that defeatism of this old world that we're living in. Victory in Jesus is not just a song we sing. It is a life we live. We are enabled to live it because of the peace of God dwelling inside of a born-again believer. We won't go through all of them here today, but I've written them out again. And trust again that we go through this list and memorize. This is my augmented Romans road. And it begins with John 3, 16, 17, and 18. I love verse 17 and try to emphasize that all the more. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. People need to be saved. And we need to communicate that people need to be saved. Again, the rest of that goes on, even chapter or 3, 18 and 36, and then 5:24 in John. That's kind of a precursor to using the Romans road. Those indicate again that what do you need saved from? I don't know if you've done this, but if you've ever had someone ask you, and when I tell them that, hey, you need to be saved, what do I need to be saved from? And boy, we need a good answer to that. And a good answer is a Bible answer. Certainly, we need saved from sin, but people often don't want saved from that. But we need saved, as the verse says, from the condemnation of sin. And so that's what a person needs saved from. I've gone down through here and put in my homework assignment, if I could call it that, the fact that there's three questions we need to ask. Number one is, what does a person need saved from? Number two is, from the Romans road of writing those verses out, is how do you get saved from that? And that's out of Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There it is again. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. People need to be saved. And what do they need to be saved from? The condemnation of sin. And the third question, it's the all-important question, is this. When were you saved from it? And were you saved from it? And is there a time and place where you can nail it down? This is where I got saved. Some of us have loved ones that we need to rehearse those three questions with them again. And make sure that, hey, they can nail it down. Some of us have neighbors, again, that need to rehearse those questions. And rehearse that list of 14 verses that I encourage you to memorize and write them down. Get yourself a little notebook and start writing them scriptures down. Those are gems right there. That, again, is the means by which a person gets saved. Handwrite them verbatim from an authorized King James Bible. My outline here is an abbreviation for that. For HWAAB, handwrite them from an authorized Bible. Being able to answer those questions. That's how we get that peace with God. And that's our primary goal here. If you want to be about the Father's business, it is, again, to communicate those things right there, that people can have peace with God. For Christians, we need to step on beyond that and understand that there is also a peace of God. Consider the peace of God. And look at these two verses with me. Philippians chapter 4, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. It disappeared. I got lost in Thessalonians again. Philippians chapter 4. And boy, we're going to spend some time here of writing out verses. If you go through this assignment from Philippians chapter 4, it deals with some things that we need to know about. And here's one of the lead-off ones is in verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. I trust this is highlighted, marked in your Bible, and written someplace in your life or notebook. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You ever see the commercial where they throw an egg on the grill and say, mind is a terrible thing to waste? That was an old drug commercial in my day.
Yeah.
But again, to understand that, hey, your mind's a terrible thing to waste. And I'll tell you what, Christians are wasting their minds on all the wrong things in our society today. And boy, we don't want to be there. And the attractions of this world are dashed across this little toy, again, that we carry around with us. This is a very dangerous thing. And so, again, to understand that, I'm a laptop email kind of person. Again, I know that's the 1900s kind of stuff. It used to be always taught the dangers of the desktop, and make sure that you have it so everyone can see what you're looking at, and to put guards on it to keep things from appearing on there. And they do appear without your invitation. And I understand that they do on these things here too. And so it's kind of harder to keep them private. Again, to keep the smut off of your phones. And again, we need help doing that. That was last week's message. But here, for peace of our mind, to have peace of mind, there's all these avenues that get into us and will be peace robbers in our life. And so again, just to be aware that to be careful for that, because we want the peace of God to reign, to rule in your hearts. And you know what? It ain't going to rule in your hearts unless you give it permission to rule, unless you invite it in. This is a voluntary thing, that you want the peace of God ruling in your life. Turn over to John 14. Another very familiar, I trust, Matthew, Mark, Luke. John in chapter 14. He's with his disciples. And all of you know the beginning of John chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you, that where I am, there ye may be also. So that John 14, look all the way down to verse 27 of that tremendous chapter. John 14 and 27 says this: Peace, John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples as he's about to leave this world and go off to his Father. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so the peace of God comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the peace of God comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, notice here that there's some other peace makers again that we need to include in our life. How do we get this peace in our life? Let me cover three avenues here at least. First off, a love of God's Word. A love of God's Word. And boy, I heard that down at the conference, the Bible conference we were at, a big emphasis on reading our Bible and how much time you're spending in the Bible. I heard it at the marriage conference again, that husband and wife together reading out loud the Word of God. And again, having an emphasis on that with this question: how much do you love the Word of God? It tells you by how much time you spend in the Word of God. And so Psalm 119, 165, of course, I'm sure we've all memorized this one. Great peace have they that love thy law. Psalm 119 is a dissertation on what to do with the love, or with the Word of God, the commandments of God, the ways of God, and the Word of God, and the commandments, and the testimonies, and all the eight different things that's given title there in those octets of verses. Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Really? Even while I'm watching the news, and nothing shall offend them.
I don't like to watch them.
So be careful. I don't blame you, Tim. I don't like to watch it either. And again, if you do, it's a good idea to have your Bible open or else these verses ready to go. So the first thing, again, is the love of the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Keeping God's Word ever present in our lives. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed unto thy word. And so again, keeping the word of God predominant in our lives, rather than all the other things that are crying out for predominance in our lives, keeping the word of God there and focused. Secondly, no cares. If you're still in Philippians chapter 4, look with me at verse 6. Be careful, Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now listen, a peace robber is, again, our cares of this world. A peace robber is our worries that we have about what's going to happen. Our worries about the direction that we're going. Our worries about, and listen, the proof of that, the correction of that, and the reproof of that is that we would, again, have no cares. But again, that we would be careful for nothing, but again, give it all to the Lord. It's been emphasized over and over that we have all these burdens and we carry them to an altar and put them down there and pray over them and give them to the Lord. And then we pick them all up and carry them back to our pew again. Be careful of that. And again, when we give it to the Lord, praise the Lord, He'll take care of it. That first verse that we looked at says that we trust in Him. And again, that's a key here, even to coming in prayer. And then the third, and I have, this is probably connected to that one, we've dwelt on it here several times. How long does it take you to have a sweet hour of prayer?
Every day, brother.
Okay, praise the Lord. I pray for my meals three times a day. That's 3, 6, 9 minutes a day, okay? How long is it going to take me to have a sweet hour of prayer? Boy, we need to have a prayer time. And let me go ahead and encourage you, and two rounds of this is one, with your spouse, have a prayer time. You've heard the plaque, the family that prays together stays together.
Yeah, that's.
And again, hearing each other pray again is important and crucial. Again, in marriage, we just came out of that marriage counseling or conference again with that emphasis. But also ourselves, getting alone, having a place of prayer. And a time of prayer. And a prayer closet, as it were. And so, again, those things again. It says in Luke 18:1, He spake this parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. Alternative is to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. And so again, those are some peacemakers, that relationship, that walk. Solid Rock down there, I don't know if you notice this, is having, every time I tune into their service, they sing a song about the walk in the Spirit. And I got a little pin on my other coat that says walk in the Spirit that they handed out at the summit. And so listen, that's where we're to walk, all right. But you can't walk with the Spirit unless you're spending time with the Lord in His Word and in communication to Him in our prayer lives. And so that's the importance of finding that peace. Let's look at peace breakers. Peace breakers in our life. What is it that could destroy the peace of God dwelling in our lives? Look at the first one, Matthew 6 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 15, and we could dwell there, we could camp here on this verse. I have before, and so we won't today. But Matthew in chapter 6, think about this. This is a Sermon on the Mount. He's bringing it to a close here in chapter 7. But here in the middle of it, he says this. Let me start in verse 13, see if you recognize this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's a model prayer. I don't call that the Lord's Prayer. I call it, again, a model prayer. But notice that I like to say it this way, that he doesn't even take a breath after his amen. before he gives us the next verse, which says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." How often should you forgive your trespasses? Well, let's ask Peter that question. And he first thought, well, seven times, that'd be the perfect number again. That's a number of completeness in the Bible. That's a number of days it took God to make this thing. And so it'd be good to forgive them seven times. And then just pull out your sword and lop their ear off, okay? But no. Again, that's not what Jesus said. And so several illustrations of having a heart that forgives others. There's a few people I've seen that are more miserable, Christians that I've seen that are more miserable than those that are holding a grudge, being angry over something that happened to me. I could list again, even right here in Yates County, I can list at least five people that say, "I'll never go to church again because of," and they'll list something that someone did to them. And they'll never forgive that. And again, they'll hold it against them forever. Listen, who are they hurting and doing that? They're not getting even with somebody. They're, again, destroying their lives with bitterness. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to understand that people often do things that, again, is filled with hate because they've been misled. They've been taken down wrong paths. They've been brainwashed. They've been twisted by this world. And again, we need to be quick to forgive, as quick as the Lord Jesus Christ was again. Secondly, again, after that, having forgiveness in our heart, let's look at two verses. Romans chapter 12. No, we can skip that one. Romans or Philippians back again, if you're still in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Romans 12:2 says, I don't know what Romans 12:2 says, but I know what 12:1 says. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2 then says, "And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." How are you going to be transformed from this world? By the renewing of your mind. By taking control of your mind. I think I mentioned last week that humans have the ability to step outside of themselves and answer my mom's famous question, "What in the world were you thinking?" And listen, we need to stop every once in a while and find out what we are thinking and analyze it and look at it. That's why God made us self-conscious, so that we could stop and analyze what in the world we are thinking. Stinking thinking. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." We all got the verse? Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are
pure,
honest, whatsoever things are
just,
whatsoever things are
pure,
whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report." Listen, that's a good list of whatsoever things are. Those things, again, ought to be in our mind. Then look at the category of them. "If there be any virtue," moral strength. "If there be any virtue," and "if there be any praise," glory, hallelujah. "Think on these things." Listen, we need a renewing of our mind. And when we're in the mully grubs and when we're again headed all discouraged and looking at things around us and saying there's no victory in Jesus in our life, listen, we need to stop and analyze again what's going on in our brain and recognize that we need the renewal of our mind. We need to be dwelling and thinking on these things. The last is that we shouldn't be coveting. Coveting more. Again, there's a verse here in Philippians that talks again about our coveting. I thought it was in Philippians. Let me go ahead and put it in James instead. Look at back to Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. I like this verse. I always used it because of one little clause in it, but there's so much more to it. Hebrews chapter 13. Think about this. We're closing the book of Hebrews. Some final thoughts it's given in the final chapter. And Hebrews chapter 13. Look with me at verse 5. Let your conversation, Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Without covetousness. It's amazing how much time we spend in coveting. We were passed by.
Well, I wish I had with that.
For the first time in my life, out on the road, I saw two Tesla trucks. Is that what they're called? I don't know what they're called. I never seen such an ugly vehicle in all my life, and I don't know why anyone would want such an ugly vehicle. One of them was at a charging station, where you'd expect to see them, I guess. And the other passed us. Boy, that's ugly. And so there's no danger of me coveting a Tesla. I'm safe on that regards. But we also got passed on the interstate up here by a Ranger bass boat, a real Ranger bass boat that can go 65 miles an hour from one end of Cuca Lake all the way to the other. Been in there, done that with one. Not me driving. Again, it was borrowed. But again, to understand that, wow. It's scary sometimes when we get all tangled up and looking for things in this world. And why do we do that? Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Being content with such things as we have. James 4 verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So pray again that God would even give you the sincere desires of your heart. So you'd have the right desires in your heart to ask for things, the power of prayer, and again, avoiding covetousness. And so those three things, again, in our lives are peace breakers. When we're holding something against somebody else, it's robbing your peace. When we are engaged in stinking thinking, it's robbing our peace. And when we're in covetousness and not content with the things that we have, we spend time, again, frustrated and looking for more, and we have lost our peace. And then I got a whole list of finally, my brethren. And let's go back one more time and thought at least to Isaiah 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Make sure that's where our trust is. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Isaiah 54:13, listen to this verse. And all the children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. You know where children learn peace? By watching your peace. You know where children learn to walk with the Lord? They watch your walk of the Lord. And so again, the emphasis there on the fact that, hey, you can pass it down, a peace about life and circumstances. Jeremiah 29:7 says, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Listen, this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. And we're stuck here. I served in the U.S. Air Force for 23 years, loved every ounce of it, serving the country. And I've made that my country. But listen, this world's not my home. This is not my country. And so again, to understand that we belong to another nation, another place, and that's where our homage should be. That's where, again, our love and our focus should be. And again, we're to pray for the peace of right here where we're at. I pray for the peace of New York City. Even when it's offered or elected a communist to be in office with Marxist principles and Marxist desires, I pray for the Islamists that want to overthrow our government and bring it, its total collapse. And so again, to understand that, hey, this world is not my home. And even here, that verse for the nation of Israel to pray for the peace of the nation where they're carried away captive. We're captive here in this world, but it's not our home. And then James 3:18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. And so again, if we want the fruit of righteousness, and we do in our lives, boy, again, understand, we need to have that great peace of they that love thy law. Listen, peace of God, God guarantees it. I'd like to guarantee it, but I don't have all the authority to do that, and I've struggled again with peace in my own life over situations, over circumstances. And so again, here, God guarantees it, praise the Lord, that we can live in peace. I've got a paper in the back, and if you want to grab it, it's got all of those verses that I just quoted about peace. Again, I like the one about being careful for nothing. I like the one about letting peace rule in your life, because you've got to let peace rule in your life. You've got to seek it. You've got to pursue it. And God's promised He'll give you perfect peace. And so some of the frustrations of living in our society, boy, again, and the it can quickly develop in me anyway to anger. I get angry at the stupidity of man. I hear politicians on my TV set going down through and cursing one another and swearing and using God's name in vain. And I'm thinking, man, this world's a mess. And so understand this. This world's a mess. But this world's not my home. And again, while we're passing through, we can have great peace because we're on the winning side. And boy, don't you wish everyone was. And we need to be about the Father's business in that regard. Father, thank you again for the great promises in your word about how to have peace in our life. And we'll praise you now and thank you, Father, for your touch and your blessing. As we would pursue peace even in this week. And Father, to trust in you and to be about your business with our lives. We know again of the frustration of circumstances. And we'll praise you all the more, Father, for your hand on our lives to give us peace and joy. And may it be our strength. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. I don't remember where I said it. If I didn't, I meant to. Or I heard that someplace this week. But don't go to the gas station to get gas this week. Go to the gas station to tell someone else about Christ. And while you're there, get gas. Okay? Does that make sense to you again? I said, that makes us perfect sense. I think they said it down at the bio conference. Don't go to the grocery store to buy groceries this week. Go to the grocery store to tell someone else about your love of Christ. And while you're there, you can buy groceries, okay? Our priorities, the things that we're doing in life, let's keep them important. I don't have a song to sing, but there's a peace, peace, wonderful peace flowing down from the Father above. I hope it's in our book, and I don't have it written down on my quick list.
It is 591.
Let's stand and we'll close with this tremendous. Boy, watch the words of this. If we were all singers here and we had a piano player, we'd sing all four verses of this. five verses of this wonderful piece. Let's go ahead and at least sing the first verse and then watch the chorus again and make that our prayer. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite call. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Lord, bless you for worshiping. Let's go in sweet peace together. Praise the Lord.
So if we come to church, are we supposed to come to church first to give somebody the gospel and then hear the message?
If you'd left, you can still do right.
Listen, I don't even understand how we didn't get that. It doesn't make any sense to me. Did I write?